No matter how elaborate your agency's cybersecurity defenses might be, eventually an attack will make it past your perimeter defenses. Then what? Well, you've got to have a plan for rapid recovery. That's why the computer security team at the National Institute of Standards and Technology has published a guide for cybersecurity event recovery, a sort of playbook for recovery. Maruja Supaya is a computer scientist at NIST, one of the guide's authors, and he joins me now. Mr. Supaya, great to have you back.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having us.
Recovery, what does that mean, and what kinds of incidents would an agency need to recover from?
So recovery in general is part of the high-level risk management process an organization would have in place. The idea is to be able to leverage that specific activities or function to help the organization get back on track, rebuilding the system, providing the critical services that they have before a certain incident or cyber events occur. And some of those events could be a data breach where the attacker gain access to your internal network and are able to exfiltrate information out of your organization. The other very common one today is ransomware, where someone can inject or run code on a system to encrypt all of the personal data on that system and ask for a payment in order to return the data back to the original state.
And I guess maybe there's a third problem that if you are operating a cyber physical system, they could go in and then take over some of the controls for the physical thing and cause damage that way.
Yes. So that is another potential scenario where the cyber physical system is actually the target of the attacker. But in other cases, the cyber physical system could also be an entry point for the attacker to enter the organization enterprise network and use that as a launch pad to move on to IT systems or to cause impact on IT systems, because some of the cyber physical systems are not configured as secure as the general IT system.
So they're almost like two-way gateways for evildoers.
Yes, if they are not managed and maintained and secure properly, they could serve as an entry point to an enterprise network.
Now, let me ask you just to clarify the definition of recovery. Does there have to have been damage done to call what you do recovery? That is to say, if someone gets through and you detect malware in your system, but it hasn't done anything yet, that's still considered the recovery phase?
So recovery is a subcomponent of a larger part of an organization's incident response plan. As part of your incident response activities, you would have to have in place mechanism for be able to detect when something is not right, you know, and that could just be operational things that happen to your system, to, you know, from a perspective of a natural disaster and other things that may occur. You know, if you have a flood, you may have to respond and detect and respond to those things too. So it's just not about just the cyber event. But recovery is part of a larger set of activities that you do, and it's usually the last phase in those set of activities where you were able to detect something was not working right, you were able to respond to it, response in a sense, taking initial steps to kind of stop the bleeding. And recovery is when you have a good understanding of the situation, you're starting to rebuild and return your system to the original state, hopefully without the original flaw that you have identified during the containment process that you have.
We're speaking with Maruja Supaya, computer scientist at NIST and author of a new guide. I guess the official title of it is Special Publication 800-184 on recovery. And let's talk about some of the things in the guide, especially ransomware, because a lot of agencies are encrypting data so that when it's taken, it's not of use to anyone. But if someone encrypts your data, how do you recover from that one?
Yeah, for you, in general, for most of the ransomware attacks, the best mechanism to recover from that kind of attack is having really good backup, you know, consistent backup, recent backup. Also maintaining those backup in offline or in a state where the attacker won't be able to impact the original data and also the backup content. If they're online, those backup content could also be impacted by the attacker.
So that could even apply to someone working at home. If you have an external backup drive, turn it off except when you're backing up, for example.
Exactly. You definitely want to make sure that it's connected when you're running your backup program or your backup cycles. And then after that, you may want to take it offline. And actually, I would recommend that people use multiple backup media so that they can actually rotate that, so that even if they forgot and had the backup media connected to their computers and it get corrupted somehow, they can go back to a previous set of media that are being stored, you know, offline. By that I mean not connected. You will lose certain amount of information, you know, depending on your backup regimen of how often are you swapping those media. You may lose maybe a day or week worth of information, but you can still recover. You know, there's always an impact on the way you would work, but it won't be a total loss.
What about at the enterprise level? Does ransomware affect places that have major league enterprise level storage?
Yes, and again, with enterprise has usually have a much more robust backup regimen and plan around that. They have rotation for backups. They have off-site storage for them. They have remote site for storing all types of backup. So I believe they have a very more sophisticated process for doing backups and for recovery. It's just part of their best practice or standard operating procedure anyway, because you want to have that kind of resiliency in your processes. So they will not, you know, they may have hourly backup connected and running all the time, but, you know, the daily backup or the weekly backup should be, you know, offline or disconnected.
And what are some other key highlights that are in the recovery guide that's just published?
So the recovery guide really is intended to be used as a guide to develop your recovery plan. It's not meant to be used, you know, when the event is occurring and you want to leverage that to actually do the recovery activity. The document provides great guidance on how to develop a playbook, which will allow you to come up with this potential cyber event scenario and work through a series of exercises so that you can validate that your processes, technology, and the folks that's going to help you recover know how to run the recovery process so that you can be successful about it. We don't have very detailed and specific guidance on each one of these scenarios, because it's very dependent on the organization and the activities that happen during that event.
Is this the initial version of this, or is it a revision of an old book?
Oh, this is the first version of this. And the intention is to bring together a set of other recommendations that NIST has in various other publications and put it all in a single document where people can pick that up and use it directly.
Marugia Sapaya is a computer scientist at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for the opportunity.